This is the Broski and Moussan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Chauvin trial winding down. The prosecution doing their closing arguments this morning. It's happening right now. It's been going on for about an hour. And then the defense will get up and do their side, and then the jury may get in to start deliberating today.
Maybe.
Yeah. Could happen.
Yeah, I guess they are going to be sequestered, though, starting today, no matter what.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about, as this trial's been going on, there's been a lot of things that have come up about why this verdict will be appealed no matter who wins. But there was another reason over the weekend that there could be an appeal, especially if there's a guilty verdict for Derek Chauvin. That's
yes.
Maxine Waters'
right.
appearance in Minneapolis and surrounding areas there to make the comments that she made. Because, you know, the whole circumstance of this trial has been unusual, to say the least.
Yes.
Right? I mean, to have protests going on while the trial
is going on. Another, you know, fatal officer-involved shooting
nearby.
While this is going on nearby.
Yeah. By the way, that Brooklyn Center, one of the jurors is from there.
Right.
Okay.
Lives there. Drives back and forth through there every
yeah.
day.
Yeah. So, you know, the fact that this jury wasn't sequestered from the very beginning has been a point of contention for some, saying with the, you know, because, you know, the courthouse is surrounded in a fence and barbed wire to protect it from violence. There have been protests in Minneapolis. And then, like you say, these recent riots, the defense asked for a change of venue. That was not granted. The sequester was not granted. But, you know, Maxine Waters' comments about, more confrontation if we don't get the verdict we want here. Don't you think these jurors know kind of what's going on out there?
I have to imagine that they do.
When you drive into that courthouse and you see the fence around it, barbed wire, you know there's protesters out there as you're driving in.
Yes.
You know, the one juror that lives in Brooklyn Center has to know what's going on in his own town.
Sure.
About this other officer-involved shooting and the protests. They have to know. There's a lot of heat on them to come up with the correct verdict. Do we all know what the correct verdict is in that context?
Yeah, well, I think that for Derek Chauvin, that is part of the appeal if he is found guilty of these three counts.
Yeah.
Right.
Just of this.
There's no way that it couldn't not be. You know, I'm kind of watching out of the corner of my eye these closing arguments. And I will say this, the prosecution is giving their closing arguments right now. And one of the things that I think that they're doing very well from what I can see is that they are going through the jury instructions step by step and placing very much supporting everything back to the jury instructions. So this is what happened, therefore, this is guilt. And they're walking them through, which, you know, I've sat through a number of court cases. They try to do this, but the way that they're doing it here, because they're able to use a lot of visuals, I think they're doing a very good job of it. And they're laying out a very good case. We will see what Derek Chauvin's defense does in response to this in his closing arguments and how, you know, if they do as well. I mean, at the end of the day, the thing about this trial is that the most interesting part of the trial happens before a jury is ever seated. And that is what evidence is allowed to be shown to the jury once they are seated, and what will those jury instructions say to them? Because you and I can talk as much as we can talk and say, look at this, look at this, look at this. But if the jury instructions don't ask them to look at those things, they can't look at them. And so that's the most important part here. That's what he's doing. We'll see what the defense does. But either way, somebody's going to appeal. No matter what decision the jury comes to, somebody will appeal.
And that's kind of my point with Maxine Waters, is that there's already a long list of reasons to appeal. And we can go over some of that if we want to do that.
And now she's another one.
But now she's another one, because she's now thrown more fuel on this fire. And I think it's likely that she will be listed as one of the reasons for an appeal. You know, the prosecution did an excellent job from what I could see watching this trial in the limited time I had to watch it.
Which I think is more than the average person.
It might be. You know, I tried to keep pace with this thing. You know, they had the video. That's the most damning thing.
Yeah.
Like watching that video. And then when you find out that one of the officers checked for a pulse
at 6 minutes
Floyd,
in on that video.
And he still stayed on George Floyd's neck for three more minutes after there was no pulse, you just ask yourself, how could this be?
What the heck?
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a very good chance that guilty verdicts will be found here. There's three charges. It could be guilty on one, two, or three, or none. But I think there's a good chance it'll be guilty. You know, the defense tried to poke holes in this argument all the way along, regardless of who the prosecution witness was, by making the case that, you know, he had these drugs in his system and that he had a bad heart, and trying to convince the jurors that there were other reasons for his death. So it's not like they don't have any defense. There was some. And, of course, you have the counterfeit 20 being passed and resisting arrest and all of that. So they have some things to deliberate here. But I just think it's terrible for a member of Congress to go out into the public during a trial and demand a particular verdict. You know, we have a trial for a reason. It's for the jury to deliberate and come up with a verdict that they deem to be the right verdict.
Right.
And for a member of Congress to go out there for, I guess, her own political reasons and demand a particular verdict in this case or else.
Right.
You know, I just think, you know, it's free speech in my world. Okay. So should anything happen to her? Well, yeah. Same thing that happened to Donald Trump.
Well,
should be impeached.
We've got the audio. You want to play a bit of it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Maxine Waters was in a Brooklyn Center. As Tony said, she is a representative from the state of California who flew to Minnesota to go to this protest where violence was happening and tell them that they needed to go farther. So this is what Maxine Waters over the weekend.
Not just manslaughter, right? I mean...
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No. This is guilty. Murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
The reason that's amazing to me is to get more active, more confrontational. We've had a lot of people arrested already.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get more active than that? We've had rioting. We've had looting. What does more active, more confrontational mean?
I don't know. Maybe it means the same thing as her, you know, telling people to shout Trump supporters down in public places like this. What was this? A few years back, right?
Yeah. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Yeah.
This seems to be a trend.
Yeah, that was just anybody in the cabinet, Donald Trump's cabinet. Don't let them have a moment's peace. If they're having a bite to eat in a restaurant or a gas station, you know, get in their face, make them uncomfortable, let them know they're not welcome anywhere. And now she goes out and demands a verdict in this case. And if not, we've got to get more confrontational than rioting and looting. And, you know, we've already seen people being arrested. I just think, you know, I just hate it when, why have a trial? It's like, give them a fair trial and hang them. The old line, right? Let's give them a fair trial and hang them. A lot of people think Derek Chauvin is guilty. I don't blame him for thinking that. When you watch that video, it's very tough. But just let the legal process play out here. And that's why I say, do these jurors, they know this stuff's going on. I don't know if they know particularly about her, but they could have because they weren't sequestered yet. So it's possible they knew what she was doing. They certainly know that there are riots and protests going on, and they know why.
You have to think about it, too. You know, you're in a very high-profile trial, and the people in your life have to know which jury you're sitting on. You can't tell them, but, you know, people are smart, John. They can figure it out, right? You started a trial at the same time as this, and you're packing bags because you got to go. You know, you got to be sequestered. I mean, they know. So the people in your life know which jury you're sitting on, and they get to resume their lives. They get to live their lives. They get to watch TV. They get to, you know, talk about things with other people. And to think that maybe you wouldn't overhear someone or walk into a room when the news is on or whatever. I mean, you know, that's a reasonable thing to assume, I think. So for this jury, I think that they should have asked to be sequestered. Because, again, I go back to knowing that either side is going to appeal. The judge in this case wants to probably take things as by the book as possible. You don't want to leave any doors really open. I don't know why in this situation this jury wasn't sequestered so that that couldn't be used in an appeal case. I'd be doing everything I could as a judge to say, I want to make sure this doesn't fall back on me. Right? I gave this person as fair of a shot at a trial as could be. And I can understand the argument for not moving the trial. Okay, I could take that. But sequestering the jury, I think I would have sequestered this jury so that that couldn't be used against me. You want to do as much, dot your I's and cross your T's as best as possible.
He seemed to think that these jurors could just block it out. Just block all this stuff out, concentrate on what's
at hand. I just think
it'd
be so hard with all that's going on here, don't you?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's there are a number of reasons for appeal, like you mentioned, doing the trial somewhere else, change of venue. To me, that should have been something that was very seriously considered. I think it should have been moved, personally.
Or,
how do you have a trial in a courthouse that you know you have to fence off with barbed wire to protect yourself? How do you even have a trial in a place like that?
Or to have a shooting in a city where one of the jurors lives, where then protests, looting, and riots breaks out during the course of your trial. How do you not say, okay, let's sequester now? At any point you could sequester because they're going to be sequestered starting today.
Yeah.
So you could have sequestered 10 days ago. And you could have tried to mitigate things as best as possible, and that wasn't done. I just think that for when it comes to an appeal, in this case, for the point of the taxpayers, you want to make sure that you're doing the best that you can.
And then the other thing is the city settled with the Floyd family for, $27 million during jury selection when nobody even could be sequestered. So they all know about that. They know the city has paid off the family.
Yeah.
They basically admitted guilt. So how do you have a fair trial in that atmosphere? And again, I'm not really defending Chauvin. I'm defending the legal system here.
Yes.
He deserves a fair trial, regardless of what you think about him. And for Maxine Waters to show up and basically demand that he doesn't get a fair trial, that he's guilty, 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 has to be guilty or else. Now, to me, at very minimum, she should be as guilty of anything that she thought Donald Trump was guilty of.
Well, and encouraging people to get more confrontational.
Yeah. That's stronger language than Donald Trump used.
You want to talk about inciting violence.
Yeah. I mean, Donald Trump was talking to his supporters in a peaceful area. There was no violence had gone on. There wasn't any violence going on at that time. And he said, march peacefully to the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And he got impeached for that. So, I think all this is free speech, by the way. I just want to make that clear. I think hers is free speech. His is free speech. But if he deserved to be impeached, she deserves to be impeached.
That's the question. 490-5858, should Maxine Waters be, quote unquote, impeached, right?
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Right now, we are discussing Maxine Waters' comments. She was in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. I need to write down
it's
Minnesota.
It's right next to Minneapolis. So.
It is. But right, she was in Minnesota over the weekend at these protests and riot. There's violence taking place, riots and looting amongst this. And she's telling people that, they need to go farther to get more confrontational. And that she doesn't like this. She wants him to be charged with first degree murder.
He should be charged
with first degree.
Yeah, I'm not even sure she knew what the charges were. She said he should be guilty of murder, first degree murder, at least.
Well, they said to him it's third degree.
Yeah.
She said, well, no, it's first degree. I want first.
He's not charged with first degree murder, so that's not going to happen. But, the prosecution has wrapped up their closing arguments, so we're awaiting the defense attorney to give his closing arguments. As I said, I tried to watch a lot of this, Christina, and it's not hard to come to the conclusion that Chauvin is guilty. Especially when you see that he kept his knee on his neck for another 3 minutes. But then there was some testimony about where was his knee in the last minute or so. Was it between his shoulder blades or was on it? They had another angle. Did you
see
that?
Right, another angle. Yeah. They showed that, you know, it's more in between his shoulder blades, or appeared as if it wasn't between his shoulder blades.
And we talked about some of the other things that are extenuating circumstances here before all this happened. You know, the counterfeit 20. I've never really heard a resolution to the counterfeit 20. Did he know it was a counterfeit 20? I've never heard that. That's kind of got lost in the shuffle. But he was asked to come back, and he wouldn't come back to resolve the situation. That's why the guy in the store called the police. The police showed up. He resisted arrest. That's all part of the video, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than the 9 minutes.
Right.
So, you know, everybody says, you know, you don't, this is the way things come out like that. You don't deserve to be killed for passing off a $20 counterfeit bill. No. And that wasn't why he was killed, or that's why he died, however you want to phrase it. But that's how these things kind of evolve. That's how these protests get started. No one should die. You know, no one should die for, you know, whatever. Like in this other case up in Brooklyn Center, you shouldn't die for having an air freshener on your rearview mirror.
Right.
That's not why he died. It's not even why he was pulled over. But that's how these things evolve. That's how these little phrases come. That's why people get upset. And then you have people like Maxine Waters come in and throw further fuel on the fire. And it just that doesn't help. I mean, I kind of have my opinion about this. It's not hard for me to believe that Chauvin will be found guilty. But, you know, if you're not there for the whole thing, you don't really know. That's why we let juries do there. They have to sit there every day, start to finish, listen to everything. And none of us do that. And Maxine Waters, I don't think, did that. And yet she's demanding a guilty verdict or else. So it's like when people stand in front of the Supreme Court demanding that they rule some way on a constitutional case.
Mm-hmm.
Are they supposed to do what the crowd says? Are they supposed to do what the Constitution says?
Right.
Are the jurors supposed to do what the crowd says? Are they supposed to do what the law says? So that's what Maxine Waters should be out there saying. These jurors need to do what the law says that they need to do, not what I want them to do. Isn't this kind of irritating?
It is irritating. And you think about, too, when a verdict does come down, whether the words that she says gives permission for bad behavior, no matter which way it goes, too. She is giving people permission to behave badly because she says that she wants them to get more confrontational. So,
what does that mean, more confrontational, when you're in the midst of riots?
To me, it goes back to what she said years ago, you know, get in their face, make them uncomfortable, you know, shout them out, swarm around them, get a crowd together, right? It's the same idea. And that's what she's talking about here, even if it in celebration of or anger over. What she's saying is get more confrontational. And I don't think that results in any good for anybody. No matter what, basically how I read into this, John, is that no matter which way this goes, that barbed wire and fence is up for a reason.
Yeah.
There will not be peace one way or the other.
But even if he's found guilty, which is what she wants, she has now become a reason that the appeal may succeed and that he could overturn this verdict on appeal, and that could cause further riots that are caused by what she's doing.
Well, and also this, you know, these words, this is not the first time she said something like this. It's not the second time she said something like this. This is now becoming a trend for her. It's a trend. This is how she operates. And I think it's irresponsible.
Yeah, I think it's free speech, but she could certainly be impeached like Donald Trump was. And I think if she thinks Donald Trump should be impeached, well, then I think she should be impeached. Because it's certainly at least as bad, I think worse.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Talking about the Derek Chauvin trial with the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Prosecution has given their closing argument this morning. They're in a little bit of a break now. The defense will come out and do theirs. And they're central time, right? A couple hours ahead of us. So they're about 11:30. Then I guess I'll probably take a little break after that and maybe come back and start deliberating today. We've been talking about Maxine Waters showing up over the weekend, demanding a guilty verdict, kind of a or else statement You know, because if they don't come back with guilty, then we've got to be in their face. We've got to be more confrontational. We've got to let them know we're serious. And I'm just, you know, I just don't think it's a proper thing for somebody like that to say. What we all want is justice here, right? And whatever justice is. But I do think that she's kind of gotten in her own way here a little bit. By doing this, she will now be part of the appeal.
Right? Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, because she's going to be maybe one of the most noticeable people that are out here demanding a certain kind of justice. And like I say, there's probably a lot of reasons for appeal.
I have to wonder, you know, for those that incite violence, what makes you think that people will want to listen? Why is violence, why is violence the answer? That would be my question to Maxine Waters. Why is violence the answer here?
Why
is confrontation the answer here?
Yeah, she might say she's not talking about violence. So the confrontation could be, you know, like in your face, that kind of stuff, not necessarily actually making contact. I don't know. It sounds weird, though, when you say we need more confrontation when the confrontation you've already had is riots and looting. What does more confrontation mean? How can it mean any less than that? Than what you've already had a number of arrests. How could it mean any less than that? You should go get arrested. You should loot. You should riot. You should throw things at the police. That's what's going on.
Well, you know, but think about it, John. Like the quiet moments of life versus the loud moments of life. When do people listen better? When do you get people's attention? How do you get people's attention better? Is it in the quiet moments or in the loud moments? I would argue that sometimes it's really the quiet moments of life that people lean in and listen. They want to hear what you have to say. They're more receptive to hearing what you have to say. In those loud moments, people tune you out. And so I would, you know, to me, it's like a child throwing a fit. You're better off. Every pediatrician out there will tell you, walk away and come back later. So what is it that makes you think that being loud, getting in people's faces, being violent, looting, rioting, whatever, that is going to get you people's attention and that they're going to want to listen to you? Because I have to say, the doctors say to walk away and come back later. I think it's the quiet moments in life that you're way more impactful than you are when you're loud.
Well, why do these political leaders accept looting and rioting? Why do they accept it?
Why do you think that that's the answer? What response, what reaction do you get? I don't think it's productive at all. This is not the answer to me. Just as I would say, you know, you want to talk about impeachment, right? Inciting violence. I'd say the same thing to the people in Washington, D.C., you know, on January 6th that did those things. Same thing. You get nowhere. You get absolutely nowhere. To Maxine Waters, I would say, you're telling people to go do things that is really going to hinder them rather than help them. And I find that very irresponsible. Very irresponsible.
Well, you know, Maxine Waters not only wanted to impeach Donald Trump, she insisted that he be charged with premeditated murder. She wanted him to be charged with murder for what happened in the Capitol.
Right.
And I'm just saying she has done no less than Donald Trump did. I say she's done more.
I don't think she even realizes how much of a hypocrite she is.
No, probably not.
Which is also frustrating.
Yeah. But how do you say that about Donald Trump when he actually told people to march peacefully and patriotically, I think he said, down to the Capitol and let people know of our displeasure about what's going on, whatever. It was a protest. You know, as we mentioned several times, we watched that morning as Donald Trump was making those comments, thought really nothing of it, went on with our show where we were stunned later that this even happened. Totally unexpected to us that anybody there. And then we find out that there were these people that kind of infiltrated the group that were violent people that did want to take advantage of this situation. And I think some other people kind of just got wrapped up in it. But to then come back and impeach Donald Trump for what he said and demand that he be charged with premeditated murder by Maxine Waters, and then she comes and does this as if this is not the same thing? Is this not at least the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say anything about being peaceful. She said we ought to be more confrontational.
Well, she didn't do it on sacred ground, I guess.
I guess so. The Capitol is sacred grounds because she wants to be protected. But just not acceptable. But again, to me, it is free speech. I think politicians have the right to say these things.
Oh, sure.
But if you're going to go after, but so did Donald Trump.
Right.
He had the right
to
say.
And sometimes there are consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
490-5858. Let's head to the phones. Mike, you're on KMJ.
I have a couple things. If something bad happens, she should be arrested for stirring up stuff. And the second thing is, if there's a water emergency, would Major Nuisance stop feeding the smelt in the bay?
Well, we'll get to that one later.
Yeah, that one we'll take up a little later. Keep listening.
Yeah. Well, you know, Maxine, like I say, she wanted charges filed against Donald Trump, but
yes.
None ever were.
Right.
No criminal charges, just the impeachment. And but she's got some kind of case with some other Congress. Eric Swalwell's involved in this.
Yeah.
And this is the case we're talking about where she could actually be brought as a witness
in
against
on her own
case.
Yes.
Right. 490-5858. Mike, you're on KMJ.
Yeah, this is Mike in Visalia, and this is so ridiculous. I mean, you got a police officer that got fired for 18 years on the service for being at a rally and never said nothing. He was just there. And now you have a congresswoman that is telling people to cause a riot, telling people to do stuff. And this isn't the first time she's done that. She should be fired and off of Congress. I mean, this is so hypocritical. I honestly believe if it's, you know, these Democrats, that's why we're having all this stuff in these cities. They don't want to do nothing, and I wouldn't doubt if they're not funding it. It's just a joke.
Well, we know in the past, you know, they have raised money to bail out some of these rioters and looters.
Kamala Harris's own campaign did.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. So, I guess I just feel like Kevin McCarthy is asking Nancy Pelosi to do something about this.
Right.
He doesn't say impeachment, but he says take action against Waters for inciting violence. I don't know what chance this has in a Democrat-controlled House. Probably nothing will happen.
Probably
right?
Nothing.
But, you know, but if you're not a hypocrite, you at least should consider impeachment. If Donald Trump was impeachment, this is impeachment. Don't you think?
Yes.
Hello, Todd. You're on KMJ.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to preface what I'd say, that I'm not saying that Chauvin's innocent, but what's happening is the jury has never been sequestered. When the Dante Wright thing happened, these mayors of Minneapolis went on TV. They mentioned George Floyd's name numerous times. And I just think the blindfold in our justice system is being taken off the lady with the scales. It's, you know, regardless if you think that guy's innocent or guilty, we're getting to a point where there's just never going to, everything is public opinion of the jury now. And that's, you know, you sit there and you've got these riots going on. This is sheer intimidation force here. Maxine Waters knows exactly what she's doing. She's trying to intimidate people from making a decision in their lives. And it's sad.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we don't know how much the jury knows about this. They're not sequestered. They're not supposed to watch any media, not supposed to talk to anybody about this. But when you have one juror who lives in Brooklyn Center, where these other protests and riots and arrests are taking place, he's got to know that's going on. The rest of the jurors have to go into a courthouse that's surrounded by fence and barbed wire to protect it in case the wrong verdict comes in.
Yes.
They have to know what's going on. You know, if they were to acquit, find not guilty, that is going to be the hardest thing for them to do. You know, if they were to actually come back with that verdict of not guilty, you've got to believe that they really felt he was not guilty, because the easiest thing to do is to come back with guilty.
Mm-hmm.
They will, you know, we the other thing we didn't mention, you have this one juror that was questioned about doing a book deal.
Right.
In the middle of the trial, the judge stopped and questioned this one juror. We don't know who it was, about was she involved in some kind of book deal. By the way, she didn't really answer the question.
No, she just said, I don't know what the verdict
is going to be. I don't even know what the verdict's going to be. Well, that's not the question. The question is, are you involved in a book deal? We had another juror in the beginning, which was kind of strange to me, who was very excited about being on this jury. Mm. We were here thinking, who wants to be on this jury? Why would you want to be on this jury?
This person was, yes.
And I thought, is this the same person? Is this somebody that wanted a book deal?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I have no clue. But, you know, the other aspect of this, too, that we've never discussed is that there are only two alternate jurors on this jury as well. That's not typical in a case like this. Typically, you know, in high-profile cases, you have about 4 to 5, maybe, because, and especially during COVID, you know, what if somebody got sick? What are you going to do then? Yeah, it's just kind of strange why they only chose two alternate jurors, especially just during this time in the world that we're at. And so you're afraid to dismiss anybody because you need others. You know, your line to pull from isn't long. That's just, it's all kind of strange to me.
Yeah. And stuff could still happen because we don't know how long these deliberations might go on once they start right?
The judge said what? You know, I hope it's a short bag, but pack a big bag or something like that, just in case.
Yeah. I hope it's short, but you better pack a bag for a long one.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
All right. We are talking about closing arguments underway right now in Derek Chauvin trial. Maxine Waters in Minnesota telling people to get confrontational.
If we don't get the right verdict.
We don't get the right verdict.
Got to get the right verdict.
490-5858. Bill wants to talk about intimidating jurors. You're on KMJ.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, remember the reports that came out about a Supreme Court justice being heard outside of a room yelling that they're not going to hear a case because they never had rioting in this country like they're experiencing in the last few years? And then you have Nancy Pelosi right in front of the microphone saying that she doesn't understand why there isn't any more protests going on. Maybe there will be. And this is a business model. It is clear as a nose on everybody's face. This is a business model that's been put in play by the Democrats, the politicians, to intimidate. You give us what we want, just like Maxine Waters. She just said it. She's not speaking to anybody except those jurors. She knew they're going to hear what she had to say. They know what the Democrats' positions are. And if the Democrats don't get what they want, even one person going to jail, whether he's innocent or not, there will be rioting and looting. And every one of those instances that I just brought up reinforces what Maxine Waters just called for. She's called, well, let me put it this way. I want both of you in the studio to go down to City Hall next time the Proud Boys are out there. And I want you to start yelling and screaming that we need to start tearing down the establishment. You'll probably be arrested immediately for inciting public unrest. And why Maxine Waters is not being arrested for inciting public arrest or violence is beyond me. She's just a person, unless it's because she's a Democrat.
Yeah, well, you know, if you the thing is, the way she said it might give her some protection, right? We need to get more confrontational, which is vague. That's why I asked the question, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does more confrontational mean when you're rioting and looting? To me, that my interpretation is you want more than rioting and looting, which would be, Bill, what you're saying. You know, she's basically asking for rioting, but she's not saying it. So her language may protect her, but what does it mean? When you want more than what we've already had, which is a lot.
Well, can we listen back one more time to her to just, because she said a lot of stuff in there. So Maxine Waters over the weekend.
Not just manslaughter, right? I mean.
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No. This is guilty for murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street
And we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
Well, I think we know they mean business.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Anybody have any doubt about that?
Get more active. Yeah. More confrontational.
But then she says, you know, yes, murder. And then she said, I don't know if it's first degree, but I believe it's first degree. Well, he's not even charged with first degree.
Yes.
And then you ask yourself, well, why is that?
Well, then she said guilty before that, too. Yeah. Guilty, you know, of murder.
But why would he not be charged with first degree? Because they don't think they can prove it. Because if they thought they could prove it, he would be charged with first degree.
Right.
So she kind of shows her knowledge of the law by saying, I think it's first degree. Well, why didn't you go down to the prosecutors as they were making their case about what they were going to charge and try to convince them with your legal knowledge about why it should be first degree. And maybe they could have explained to you why they weren't doing it.
Right.
Maybe she could use a little lesson in the law here from the prosecutors who didn't think, I assume they didn't think they could prove it or they would have done it, right?
Well, it's not Maxine's law, John. It's the law of Minnesota, the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's the law.
But as far as she's concerned, it's first degree.
It's Maxine's law.
Right.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, you know, we've got a lot of stuff going on with the law and crime and guns and violence and protests in this country. We're going to talk a little bit about that coming up.